That's what he desired for them. He desired grace and peace. And if you let the people around you know that, hey, you know what, man? One thing I desire for you to have the grace of God in your life. That this salvation that you have, everything that goes along with the salvation, Paul was telling them. Everything that goes along with the salvation, I pray that you have received.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the first half of The Joy of Affirmation, Part 1. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Joy of Affirmation, Part 1.
Last week we began a series of sermons from the book of Philippians. The title of the series is, whatever you're going through, come out with your hands in the air. We are talking here about your hands coming out rejoicing, lifted up rejoicing, that whatever it is that you're going through, God is going to bring you through. And when you come out on the other side, come out with your hands up in the air. This morning, I'm going to ask that you would open your Bibles to the first chapter of the book of Philippians. The first chapter of the book of Philippians, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is right for me to think of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. For God is my witness how greatly I longed after you all in tender mercies of Jesus Christ. And as I look at these first 8 verses, one thing jumps out at me, and that is Paul is affirming the people in Philippi in their Christian faith. And so this morning I want to speak to you on the joy of affirmation. The joy of affirmation. All right. As I come today, I just want to say this, that I was very convicted as I prepared this message. And one of the reasons that I was convicted is because I find that I miss a lot of opportunities to affirm other people. And I had to pray and ask the Lord, to forgive me, because there's been opportunities that I've missed to affirm my wife. There's been opportunities along the way that I've missed to affirm my children. There's opportunities I've missed right here in the congregation to affirm many here who have done great works for God. And, as a result of this message, I prayed and asked God, Lord, help me to be better at this ministry of affirmation. And as we look at affirmation, what is affirmation? Affirmation is the act of giving value to another person. It's telling another person that you are important, that you have worth in God's sight, and you have worth in the sight of other individuals. As we look at the Apostle Paul, we see that Paul was very affirming in this letter to the people in Philippi. And once again, if we go back and read 1 Corinthians and Galatians and books like that, we see that Paul was more giving a rebuke in the book than he was an affirmation, because they were just dealing with a lot of issues. But here in the book of Philippians, we see that Paul is really coming to commend these individuals for their service and for their work and labor in the gospel. As I mentioned last week, and you know, from week to week, we'll go back and review certain parts of the outline. But as I mentioned last week, at least 16 times in the book of Philippians, Paul uses the word joy or rejoicing. 16 times in, I think it's like 125 verses, he uses the word joy or rejoicing. So his point and his purpose is to encourage these saints in the Lord. As I think about affirmation, we see that everybody needs affirmation. One of the things that we learned in our biblical counseling when we had a guest speaker by the name of Scott Barber, he said that God created man. God created human beings with needs. And if you'll go to that first slide, God created human beings with three needs. The first need is spiritual needs. And that is, everybody needs to be hooked up to God. God created, when God created Adam, he created Adam with a void in his spirit. And in this void, it was a void that only God could come in and himself fulfill. Nothing else. But man has tried to fulfill this void with everything. Drugs, relationships, pleasures, all type of things man has tried to fulfill this void, this God-centered void. And maybe you're here today, and this void that you have in your life that only God can fill, that you are trying to fill it with other things. And I just want to say today that you will never be satisfied trying to fill it with anything else other than God, because God created you with a void that only he could fulfill. The second thing, the second need that we have as human beings is that we have physical needs. That is, God created us all with the need for food, for water, for shelter, and for air. That you need these things. You cannot exist without any of these. Maybe you can get away without shelter, but the rest, you need the rest. You need them to survive. You cannot make it without these. And just like the first one, you can't make it without, or you can make it, but you'll never make it without a relationship with God. The third thing that Dr. Barber talked about, he said that we have psychological needs. And he pointed out the fact that we all have a need to love and to be loved. That there's something in your spirit that just wants to reach out and give love to somebody else. If you don't, you got some serious problems. If you don't, you need to call our biblical counseling department and get some help. Because every human being, God created you. What? God is love. And if God is love, when he created us with the capacity and the need to give love. But also, he created us with the need to be loved. That everybody has a need to be loved. And like I said, if you don't have that need, then there's something wrong with you. And I'm not trying to down you or put you down today, but this is the way that God created us. This is the way that God made us, to love and to be loved. And then the next thing, that all of us, every last one of us, have a need to know, if we go back to the other slide, we have a need to know that we are important, that we are important. You remember, now maybe some of y'all weren't as carnal as Pastor Glaze, but, you know, I know I used to watch that program, Cheers. And you remember the song that came on? Sometimes we want to go where everybody, oh, Pastor Glaze, not the only carnal one. Oh, praise God. Praise God. All right. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. Well, why do you want to go where everybody knows your name? You know why? Because they make you feel important. They make you feel important. And when we think about this whole idea of affirmation, that's what affirmation is all about. It's about making another person feel important. That everybody has a need to feel important. If you don't feel important, if you feel insignificant, there is a struggle that we have in our life. Some people, I was reading this week about devitalization syndrome. I never heard of it. I'll tell you what, man, the longer I live, the more problems I see that we got that we never know we have. I mean, growing up, man, I never knew we had these issues. But now I see we got, it's called devitalization syndrome. And what it is, it's a person who has been devitalized. It's a person that has isolated themselves. They put walls up around them, and they have this inner feeling of loneliness, of being out on an island, of being unsupported, and they just have issues and struggles that they need to help somebody. Somebody needs to help them work through. Well, what's one of the problems that, as I went on to read the contributing factors to this, one of the contributing factors to this syndrome was the fact that these people had never been affirmed, or they were not affirmed growing up by their parents. Even in their marriage, they may not have been affirmed, and so now they are struggling with this issue. And maybe you're sitting here today, and you're struggling because you have not been affirmed. You're doing something, and you think that it has worth, but you've not been affirmed, and you get discouraged. You know, have you ever really put your heart and soul into something and doing something and putting it together and then sharing it with somebody else or giving it to someone else, and they really didn't appreciate it? You know how that makes you feel? Why does it make you feel like that? It makes you feel that way because you haven't been affirmed. How did God create us? God created us with the need to be affirmed. Jesus was excellent in giving affirmation. You know, when you look at Jesus, and you know, a lot of times we look at Jesus as coming down hard on people, but really the only ones that Jesus came down hard on were the Pharisees. You know, he was always in battle, and they were always trying to trip him up and trick him and all this other kind of stuff. And the only people that he really battled with was the Pharisees. If you really go and study the rest of Jesus' life, you will see that he was very affirming. A couple of examples of the affirmation of Jesus is the centurion soldier, the servant of the centurion soldier. Remember, he came to Jesus and asked him to heal his son? Well, what did Jesus say to him? Jesus said, "I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel." How do you think that made that individual feel? To hear that coming from Jesus Christ, that was very affirming. What about that Syrophoenician woman who came up and just wanted Jesus to come in and touch her life? And then Jesus told her that, should we give the master's feet of food to dogs? And she said, "Lord, even the dogs desire the crumbs that fall off the table." And what did Jesus say to her? Here this woman is, beaten down, broken, coming to him for restoration and healing. And what does Jesus say to her? "Great is thy faith." How affirming was that to her? And Paul tells us about this ministry of affirmation when he talks about in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Listen to this in the RSV. "Outdo one another, showing honor." You know, there's only one place where we are to be in competition. You know, we want to be in competition in all these other areas. "Well, I did this good. I did that good. Didn't I do this good?" But the one area where the Bible commands us to be in competition with each other is showing each other honor. And I like that Revised Standard Version translation. It says what? Outdo. That if you see somebody give an honor and give an affirmation, that it ought to be in your spirit, in your heart, that you want to outdo that. You know what? And not from a pride or egotistical standpoint, but just from a spiritual standpoint. You know, I'm going to try to outdo others in giving affirmation. And that's what we see here in the book of Philippians. As we think about affirmation, somebody said that affirmation is like a slow leak in a tire. That you know how the air starts going out and eventually it goes flat? And what do you need to do? You need to pump it back up again. And you know, that's the way we are as human beings. Sometimes when we are not affirmed, sometimes when we are not just people let us know that we're doing all right and we're doing things that are helpful and meaningful, when we don't get that, you know, we just start to deflate. But when somebody comes along and affirms us, what happens? You know, it pumps us back up again. That's why, you know, a lot of husbands and wives have problems in relationship, because instead of inflating a lot of times, it's just constant deflating. "Oh, you ain't no good. Oh, you don't do this. You don't do that. Oh, you terrible. Oh, you this." And what do you do? The whole time, what are you doing? Deflate, deflate, deflate. There's no inflation. There's no affirmation. You wonder why so many young people, so many young black men grow up angry. You know, just talk to a lot of young black men, especially those that are out in the street, man. They're just so angry. And what are they angry about? One of the reasons that they're angry is because they haven't been affirmed. You know, one of the things that just absolutely blew my mind was when I was in New Mexico for my wife's mother's funeral service. And Native Americans have a lot of traditions, a whole lot of traditions. And I found out, maybe one day if my wife gets the opportunity, she just needs to share some of these traditions. But one of the traditions that they have, the belief of Native Americans is that the spirit of the person stays in the community and in the grave for 4 days. For 4 days. We teach, the Bible teaches that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's what the Bible teaches. But the Native Americans believe that the spirit of the person stays in the community for 4 days. And so one of the things that we had to do, and I didn't have to do it, but I wanted to go out and be a part of this experience, was to go out to my mother-in-law's grave. And all night, we sat out there and guarded the grave. The reason that we went out to guard the grave is because it's believed that there are evil spirits that try to keep her spirit from getting out and going to its eternal resting place. And so by us staying there during the night and shining lights on the grave, that chases the evil spirits away. Now, once again, this is their belief, all right? This is their belief. So I went out there to be a part of it. And as we sat around, there was about 8 or 9 of us, and they built a bonfire. And the thing that blew me away was there were my nephews. There was about 4 of them. And there was these older gentlemen. And they sat there around this fire, and they told these young men stories about Native American traditions. And they told them about why they did this and why they did that. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm fascinated. And it, all of a sudden, it dawned on me. What are they doing? They are affirming these young men. They're around this fire, guarding this grave. And they took control of the situation. They told the story. And they were affirming these young men. And I said to myself, I said, wow, this is one of the missing elements in the African-American community. At what point do we sit down, especially with the young men, at what point do we sit around and affirm them? And a lot of young men are angry because nobody has ever affirmed them. Nobody's ever told them the stories. Nobody's ever told them this is how we need to be. Nobody's ever told them this is how we react in this situation. Nobody's ever told them that this is what you need to do. They haven't been affirmed. Well, I'm not trying to blame that on all the ills of our community. I'm not. But I'm just saying that is a missing element, this whole concept of affirmation. And somewhere, if people don't get affirmed down the road, they begin to have problems and they begin to have struggles. And so the Apostle Paul, thank God that he gives us a letter and he gives us principles of affirmation and how we can do this affirmation. Because it's something that's needed in the body of Christ. It's something that's needed in our society, is this whole concept of affirmation. Let's look at a couple principles of affirmation today. The first is what I call a recognition of worth. A recognition of worth. Affirmation can be seen in the way that a person addresses another person. You know, by the way that you address a person, you either affirm them or not. Look what Paul says. This blows me away. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. Now, my. You're going to try to tell me if somebody doesn't call you a saint, that doesn't do something for you. I walk around, man, I see guys, they call guys players. Player! What's up, player? And you know, when you call a brother a player, what does he start? Yeah, I must be a player. I'm a player. They start thinking they're a player. All right, even if they're not a player, don't have any game, don't know how the game is run, don't know how to put a game together. But you know, you call them a player, they think they're a player. All right? Look what he says here. To all the saints. Saints. Now, I love to call. You know, somebody said, well, how do you address a group of people when you come? Now, I don't know about you, but when I come, how do I address them? Pick up my collar first. How do I address them? I address them as saints. Saints, saints. What's going on, saints? Because that gives you worth. If somebody calls you a saint, you know that's putting something in your spirit. It's letting you know that I'm supposed to be a certain way. I'm supposed to act a certain way. I need to elevate my living to the title that I'm given. Paul called them saints. Every one of you sitting here today, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are a saint. Praise God. Saint William. You're looking at Saint William right here. We have Saint Carl. All right. Praise the Lord. No matter where you came from, if you came through Jesus Christ, you are a saint. And Paul gives them worth. He lets them know. He affirms them in the fact that you are saints. If you want to affirm someone, see, you know, we got all kind of young people being calling all kind of nasty names. So-and-so, so-and-so. So-and-so, so-and-so. You ain't no good. You just like so-and-so, so-and-so. We giving them all kind of names, derogatory names, names that'll tear them down. You know, it breaks my heart to see how you know, and I can only talk of what I see, all right? So I know it's probably happening in other places, but it breaks my heart for me to stand out in front of this church and hear a young mother, 19, 20, 21 years old, walking up the street with a little baby, cussing them out. Man! Breaks my heart. Because I'm thinking, what's being put into that child? You know, just because you're frustrated with the child, just because you're angry with the child, just because you got somebody not treating you right, you don't have to take it out on that child. And see, as you call that child out their name, you're putting certain things in this child. I like what one comedian said. I think it was Bill Cosby. You know, he kept it clean. Now, he kept it clean, so I'm going to keep it clean. But he said that he grew up with some kids that they were always growing up, and they were called so-and-so, so-and-so. And if you asked them what their name was, they said so-and-so, so-and-so. And why was that? Because that's what they were being called. Man, my brothers and sisters, we need to be affirming people. We need to be giving them worth. We need to be telling them things that build them up and pump up their spirit. Too much deflation is going on in our community. Too much deflation is going on in the people that we address. We need to find ways to affirm people. We need to find ways to let people know that they have worth. Even a little child can let you know that they got worth. I shared the story about my granddaughter, when she was about 3 years old, how that, you know, she had done something that was good. And I said, very good, Tay-Tay, very good. And I said, look, I'm going to take you out and buy you some candy. And we were going out to buy some candy. My wife had the car seats in her vehicle. And so I took my wife's car. And so we got in the vehicle. My wife had a sunroof. And the sunroof, man, the sun was beaming down on my head. And I said, look, before we go anywhere, I got to find out how to close this sunroof. 5 minutes, I'm in there trying to figure out how to close this sunroof. I can't figure out how to turn it. But I didn't realize until it dawned on me that every day my granddaughter, because my wife was taking her to daycare, every day she rides with my wife. And she's sitting back there, both of us sweating in the vehicle, trying to figure out how to get this thing worked out. And I said, you know how Grammy closes this thing? She said, yeah, Pop, just put that button right there. So I pushed the button, and the sunroof closed. And she said, very good, Pop, very good. See, affirmation. What was she doing? She was affirming me. You know, and where did she get that from? You know, she got that from the fact that I know that my wife and I, when our grandkids are with us.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Joy of Affirmation, Part 1. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Joy of Affirmation, Part 1, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Joy of Affirmation, Part 1. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Joy of Affirmation, Part 1. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.